Okay, good morning. We're continuing on page Reish Ches. We're on the eighth principle of Jewish belief, as Rav Pinkus is describing how it all comes out of the Shabbos. And just following up from number seven, which was we believe in the truth of the prophecy of Moshe, and that he was beyond any other prophets. And we said that aspect of Moshe's prophecy was able to produce, to bring out the word of God, bichvodo uba'atzmo, is the expression Rav Pinkus uses. That God in his glory and in his essence, he was able to be revealed because that's what Torah is. Torah is the message of God. God's intellect, as we learned last night in the Rambam, God's intellect and himself are one. So the giving over the Torah was to give over mamish that aspect of Hashem. And that's similarly what Shabbos is able to do as well, right? Just like creation shows that he is the one, he is the whole reality, and nothing, and he created the whole world bichvodo ba'atzmo, nothing else but him can do that, and that's what the Shabbos reflects as well. And that's the idea of giving the Torah at Sinai. That's him, mamish, and it's expressed as neshikas piu, a kiss from him and not through any messenger. And that's what Shabbos is, exactly the same thing. So that's what Ches and Tes, which also talk about prophecy, is going to follow up on that. So Ches, ani mamin bemuna shalema shekol ha-Torah ha-metsuya ato biyadenu hi ha-nesuna le-Moshe Rabbeinu v'shalom. Believe with complete faith that the entire Torah that we find now that is in our hands is exactly the same Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. And there's been no adulteration from the original. It is exactly what was given at Sinai, which is an important concept. If you don't believe in that, we're in big trouble. So, Anoisei Kan, the subject matter, the topic here in this principle is, Ham Yitochin Shenish Shenishtarvavu El Toich HaTorah Chalokim Shem Lo Me'aborei. Is it possible that there could have evolved or mixed in to the Torah parts that are not from Hashem? Is it possible? Look at this book of the Torah. There's parts of it that aren't from Hashem. Elatosefes me'inshi delomali. And rather, it could be additions from people delomali that aren't really of a reputable source. Sheichnisu dvorim b'shem Hashem, that they inserted words saying it's the name of Hashem. Asher lo diber, which he never said. Right? So, you know, that's a principle that we have. And it's not true. Nothing has ever been added to the Torah. Nothing's ever been added. So that's the principle. Avol kivan sheklolus haTorah bolonim Hashem yisparach alidei Moshe Rabbeinu begeder shel bichvod avatzmo. So as we've explained in the last principle, that the general concept of Torah has come from Hashem, through Moshe, in this category of bichvodo uba'atzmo, that God himself was there and he was giving of himself, and it's mamish, Torah is Hashem. And this is the covenant of love between Hashem and the Jewish people. If that's the case, Harehu Yisbarach Achroy al Habris Kamonu. Hashem is as responsible for the covenant as much as we are. Right? I mean, it's a two-sided street. And just like we have sworn never to nullify the Torah, there's also an obligation from God's side as well not to negate the Torah. You never can have a covenant that's only one-sided. And this principle gives us a promise. We have the eternity of the Torah to every detail. As it says, it will never be forgotten from your descendants. So now, that has to be, that Torah that was originally given can never be altered, because that is part of the covenant of love. Right? An eternal covenant of love. You can't just change conditions in the middle of the game. Since Hashem on his side will never nullify the covenant, so what happens is Shomer Hu as HaTorah B'Taras U'Shleimos, who will guard the Torah in its purity and its completion. V'chol Ziyuv Shehei B'Torah Yeziuf be'etzem bris ahava, and any forgery that could ever come into the Torah would be a forgery not just in Torah, but it would be a forgery of the covenant of love. Vabris he be'echus shel bichvor v'asa, but the covenant is of the quality of he himself, his essence, bringing himself there. And Hashem is standing on guard, watching the Torah in and of himself. Okay? So just like Torah is called a bris, a covenant, Gam HaShabbos Nikras Bris, Shabbos also a covenant. That the covenant of the Torah is by definition happening out of the power of the love that comes out of creation. We've explained it all already. That's why Shabbos was the day that the Torah was given. The Shabbos were only given for the only purpose of what? Learning Torah. And Shabbos itself is called an eternal covenant. That the main essence of Shabbos is the covenant of Torah between Hashem and the Jewish people. So again, it's the same idea. The Torah has to be eternal. The Torah has to be eternal, and there'll never be a change. And because if it is, then the entire covenant is changed. And Shabbos is a covenant, and the Torah is a covenant, so it all goes hand in hand. All right, Tess. Again, very brief on this one as well. It's the same idea, just a slight change, slight different nuance. Animami b'muna shleima shezos haTorah lo tei muchlefes. I believe with complete faith that the Torah will never be exchanged. And God will never give another Torah. In other words, how's the ninth different than the eighth? The eighth is saying that I know that everything that's in the Torah is exactly the way God gave it to Moshe. As opposed to saying, yeah, we got the Torah and it's 98%, but there's 1% that's different. So the eighth principle said, no, it's not even 1% that's different. It's exactly the way it is. And Hashem will, together with the Jewish people, will safeguard that nothing of the sort is going to ever happen. It can't ever be that some part of the will of God is adulterated in this world. Doesn't mean to say there won't come other religions claiming that the Torah is different. That's charlatans. There'll be aspects of Jews who claim to be representatives of Jewish people and to say it's different. Those are charlatans. But the Emesiyid, the proper, the real kosher Jews, right, there'll never be a change in that. The ninth is saying, okay, let's say this will never change, but let's say tomorrow God will come to Sinai and say, God, listen guys, I've changed it all. Everything you have now is exactly what it was for the last 300 years, but I'm telling you, as of tomorrow, everything's different. I'm going to come down to Sinai again. I'm going to invite you all to Sinai. We'll have another conference. You know, we're not going to have it in Nicaea, but rather we're going to have it in Sinai. And we're going to, I'm going to change it. And I appreciate you did everything for the last 300 years. I really love you guys. But you know what? It's time for a change. And I'm enacting the changes. And here is the Torah now that will replace the next Torah. Right? Sounds a lot like the principle that debunks Christianity, no? Right? The eighth one debunks the Reformed conservative Karaites. Okay? And the ninth debunks Christianity and the Muslim religion, whatever. So, obviously, Hakol Kineskel, everything that I said before fits over here as well. Shabris hu b'liyaf or Rishina, a covenant could ever be changed. Right? Not in detail or not entirely. V'yosha Torah hi ritzon Hashem. Since the Torah is the will of Hashem, v'dibras kotsho b'chor ha'atzma, and it's his holy words of him himself, v'geter hu v'dibur achad v'hu ritzon achad, in the category of he and his word is one, he and his will is one, just like there's no change in Hashem, there can't be a change in Torah. Right? God is one. Can God ever change? No. So his will can't change. Right? His will can't change. Not a little, not a lot. Not a little, not a lot. And that's what these eighth and ninth principles are saying. And it all comes out of Shabbos. Because Shabbos is this eternal covenant of love. Okay, Yud. So, one thing's for sure, it'd be a good idea to go over the 13 Imamim every Shabbos. Wouldn't be a bad idea, because it has a lot to do with Shabbos. Okay, so we finished the second third of the Imamim. Now we go to the final third of the Imamim. Again, like I always say, it's three parts. Everything in Judaism is three parts. Right? So the first part is Hashem. Second part is that he has a relationship with us. How does he have that relationship? By speaking to us. by speaking to people, anybody, by conveying exactly what he wants to us through Moshe and promising it'll never change. It's an enduring, eternal relationship that he'll never shift the terms of that relationship. Okay, now we come to the last part of the triumvirate, which is there are consequences to everything that's there because of, and now he deals with us. There's God, the medium, and us. That's the three parts of Yiddishkeit. So we understand everything what God is, and therefore is the only one to pray to. We understand the medium of the relationship, you know, through his connection to us, and specifically through Torah, etc., etc. Good. So now where do we fit into this religion? That's what the next four principles have to say. So Yud. Ani mamim b'emuna shalema sh'abori yisparach shemo yodea kol ma'asei b'nei yodem v'chol ma'akshvoysam. I believe with complete faith that Hashem knows every action of humanity and all their thoughts behind their actions. Shenemar hayotzer yachad libam ha'mevino kol ma'aseim. As it says, he fashions them all together in one heart and understands all their deeds. So what this means is Hashem knows everything we're doing and thinking. So it's a relationship that you can't fool him. You can't fool him in this relationship. Everything that he's brought to the table, and now you're going to respond. Every one of your responses is going to be totally recorded and totally understood. God has a full understanding of the other side of the relationship. There's never going to be a misunderstanding between you and Hashem. He knows exactly what you do all the time. He exactly knows what you're doing and why you're doing it all the time. As opposed to, let's say, in a marriage where a husband may do something and or a wife may do something and the husband and wife may misjudge. And I think that is a big part of many of the breakdowns in relationships. We just misjudge. And there's a breakdown of communication and the wife thought the husband meant to do that, but he never did. And the husband thought for the wife as well. So they're both upset with each other. And if the truth is they really knew what the other one's really thinking and doing, it would be a lot less problems. So therefore, Hashem is saying, from my side, I just want you to know, I know everything you're doing. So however I will respond will always be a perfect response. Will always be a perfect response to what you do. Don't ever think I'm going to do something to you that you shouldn't be happening to you because I didn't understand. I know everything you did, you know, even what you did in privacy somewhere that nobody else knows. I know exactly what you were thinking, even though you were doing mitzvahs, but you weren't thinking of me ever, or whatever it is. I know it all. So whatever my response will be, it's going to be a perfectly accurate response to what happens. Right? And again, it's a fundamental principle. Fundamental principle. Many people have a problem. You know, God hates me. God hates me because he's giving me troubles. So how could you say he hates you? He loves you. He loves you. You know, and he's doing exactly what you need. He's responding in the way that he must respond to you, and he knows exactly what response he's supposed to give because he knows exactly what and why you're doing things. So it's an important principle. So now, behechrich, you have to say, what's the main point here? God knows all reality, even what you are doing. It's logical because all reality comes from God who brings it into reality. Remember, if he wills you and me every moment of our lives, right? Anything we do, it's with God's will. We went and got up and did something bad. Well, God gave us the strength to do that. And more than that, we were thinking to do bad. He gave us the ability in our minds to think to do bad. So how can he not know what we're thinking and doing? Every breath we take is with his permission. So how could we for a moment think we could do or think of what we're doing without God knowing exactly what's going on? It's got to be, he knows. Was that push? That's obvious. V'imtisamek, and if you'll really look deeply, Tira, you will see. Since the power of creating the world something from nothing, it by force must be there's no other reality but him. It comes out that Hashem knows all the reality out of the power of how he knows himself. So it says the Rambam in the second chapter of Hilchos Yisrei Torah, Halacha Tes, this is what he says. Anything that's found outside of Hashem, mitzur rishon, from the very first form. Ad yitush katanot, till the smallest little flea. Shia betibur aris, that's in the belly of the earth. In other words, you know, like the most microscopic, minuscule thing. Hakol mikoach amito nimtso. It all comes out of his true reality. Ufishu yodea atzmo, and since God knows himself, obviously he knows himself, umaker gadluso v'sifartov amito, and he knows his greatness and grandeur and truth. Hu yodea kol, he has to know everything. Vein davar nelon, there's nothing hidden from him. Ayin Shem, look over there. The Mavarish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makar Kol Metzios, Pozeshu, Makar Asim Kivyachol. Hashem knows all reality, just like he knows himself. Right? You know, for example, do you know what your right hand is doing all the time? Yes. All the time. Could there ever be a time you don't know what your right hand is doing? Unless you're psychotic.
Yeah.
Can you ever, when you're awake, can you ever not know what your right hand is doing?
No.
It's not possible. Right? Because I'm attached to it. Right? So just like God knows himself all the time, he knows everything he's supporting all the time because it's just an extension of his will. So therefore it comes out of the power of Shabbos and the power of knowing that God created the world. It's perforce our understanding that there's nothing else but God. So he has to know it. All reality. Everything we're thinking. It's a logical extension. Again, of Shabbos. So Shabbos is a good time to think about how much Hashem really knows. What he knows about you. Right? That's what the Chovos HaLevavos talks so much about it. See, with Hashem, there's no such thing. So Chovos HaLevavos says, it's so foolish to think you're going to do something one way and feel another way and think you're getting away with anything. Because just like Hashem, everyone agrees Hashem can see what you're doing. I mean, no one's going to argue that. Some people think he doesn't know what we're thinking. So he says it's the same thing. Because what we're thinking is as clear to God as what we're doing. It's not a drop harder for him to realize that. So that's an important concept. So Shabbos is a good time to work on the way we think about Hashem, because that comes out of the power of what Shabbos is all about. He's creating every moment of our lives, just like he created the world. So he's creating every thought. So we got to be more honest with our thoughts with Hashem. Okay, Yud Aleph. And now that he knows everything, that makes it clear why he's the one able to give the best consequences to whatever we do, because there's no misunderstanding between him and what we do. That Hashem will reward those who keep his mitzvahs and punish those who go against his mitzvahs. Yira Shabbos. I already explained this concept earlier in the book when we talked about the idea of having fear of Hashem on Shabbos. Sheyesoda Yichud, because the fundamental principle of the unity principle of Hashem is Shekadosh Baruch Hu Molech Me'olam Ve'Arolam. Hashem rules from one end of the world to the other end of the world. From very far away, he rules up in the heavens and rules all the way down here. Al Kol Rega V'Rega V'Chol Masav V'Mesav, for every moment of time and every action that happens. We said it's impossible for there ever to be a reality, even for a moment, or an action for a moment, to be outside of the pale of God's dominion. That was the whole idea, if you remember, the whole idea of God punishing, taking nekama, that whole thing we talked about, where it can't be for a moment that you did something and got away with it. If God is the creator, there can't be a moment where you did something that he didn't want or that he wasn't in control over. In fact, you went and did an Avera, right? And how could you do an Avera? How could you do an Avera? Hashem doesn't want you to do an Avera. So that means he has to punish you. The point of the punishment is to say, don't you ever think for a moment you existed without Hashem. Right? Remember that? You know, Hashem tells you to not talk Lashon Hara. Okay, so you know, you're a good Jew, you keep it, but this was so juicy and so tempting, you had to do it. You spoke Lashon Hara. Hashem told you not to do it. You're doing something that's not real. This is not good. This is not what Hashem wants. It's okay, God can control the world 99.9% of the time, but the 1%, I want to talk Lashon Hara, he really isn't in charge. That's what you're really saying, if you accept it or not. So God's saying, it can never be that even for a moment I wasn't in charge. And if you did something that goes against what I want, you know what's going to have to happen? What's going to have to happen is you're going to pay for it dearly. And you're going to confess and admit that even that moment wasn't worth it and I never was in control. That's the whole idea of Nakama. And that's the Yiras Hashem. That's real Yiras Hashem. That you can't be a moment doing anything without God, and you're never going to get away with anything. Right? So, you know, you can't hide in the Bora Bora mountains and think you got away with it. You can't. It's not even for a moment. Right? That's what he's saying. Umamela comes out. Mukhrach shekol ma'ase yeshel gemul. Therefore, it has to be that every action has a consequence. Lo shayach ma'ase shiavar b'stam. It can never be an action. It just happens. Stam, it happened. It has an impact on anything. Okay, you know, okay, I spoke a sharp, but you know, I'm pretty good most of the time. It isn't going to make a big difference in God's plan. It is, because there can't be a moment that God isn't in control. There can't be a moment He isn't in control. And you went and did something, it's going to let it go. He can't let it go, because He has to always be in control. That's only logical. That's what we already learned. So now, He's going to add a little bit. But so you see, you know, that's why you got to believe. So the principle of saying He's got to punish you, or reward you for that matter, means there ain't a moment He ain't in control. It works in the positive way as well. Like, even though He focused more on the negative, but the positive works as well. If you do an action and Hashem doesn't reward you, that also shows He's not in control. You know, you really were a nice guy. You really were a good Eved Hashem. I mean, really, you were. And what happens? You know, your life is just miserable for no good reason. Now, it could be miserable for a good reason. But it's for no good reason. You know, okay, if I'm not going to get rewarded here, fine. But at least in Olam Haba, you got to get rewarded. You are a nice Jew. I mean, a real nice Eved Hashem. It has to be you get rewarded. If not in this world, in the next world. It's got to be that you get rewarded. If I don't get rewarded, it seems that even when I did something good, it's not part of God's world. Even when I do something good, it's not part of God's world. No, even the good has to be part of God's world, has to be acknowledged and rewarded. And by rewarding it, that means it was part of God's world. Is it possible that a person can do what God says and not benefit from it? It can't be. And if it is, that means that something happened without God being in control. So it works the positive way. Just like God, you know, it looks, whoa, God's tough. Can't be a minute that you're going to try to get away from anything. It goes the same way. Can't be a minute that you do something good for me that I'm not going to really give you a beautiful reward. It works the same way. And we think we should try to focus more on the second side. You know, when you're struggling to do the right thing, realize, you know, if you're going to do it, man, Hashem, it'll never escape God's radar, and He is going to reward you handsomely for it. That's a motivation to do the right thing as well. Just as much as, you know, you're not going to get away with it and God will punish you. But if I do the mitzvah, you know, I've got to be rewarded. So now he adds on Reish Yud. V'yesh lahosel hazeh. Let's add a little bit to this. The kol ha-chakira shel inyan schar ve'onashi. The whole question, the whole discussion of the topic of reward of punishment is really the following. Ha'im Labore shukodl v'noira b'li tachlis is the Creator who is awesome and great beyond limit. Do we say about Hashem, ichbat lo klal kol prat katan v'chol nakuda katana b'olam hashach l'sais lo gemula? Does it really bother Him all the little details in this world, in this low world here? Does He really care what goes on? So, you know, why does He waste His time with it? Ha'im eino malim ayin al kapadim v'rim katanim shenir ma'afilu b'neinu. Doesn't Hashem like hide His eyes, you know, at least for the real little things that even in our eyes we don't think are important? We don't even think they're so important. So, you know, does he bother Himself with His little things? That's the whole question of, you know, is God going to reward and punish everything? But now that it's been explained in this principle that God, as it were, does bother Himself. Let's put it this way. Doesn't God bother Himself to keep everything going? He bothers Himself to keep a little ant somewhere by the equator living where no human being lives. He bothers with that. So He bothers with that. Therefore, you got to say everything we do is important to Him. He doesn't hide His eyes from it. Because if there would ever be anything not important in God's eyes, so why did God bother in His creation to make it? Why God wouldn't make anything if it ain't important? You have to say that every little detail God supervises, it's close to him, it's important to him. And therefore we have to say there's got to be reward and punishment for every little detail as well. And this is all part of the covenant of love between Hashem and his creatures. Because since he loves them so much, he worries about every little thing, and everything matters. Nothing is hidden from him. When a bad thing happens, as it were, Hashem has tremendous pain, as it were. In the context of the relationship, Hashem has tremendous pain when he sees something bad. And therefore, punishment comes out of that. From a good thing we do, mostly it extends the love that he already has. And that becomes the source of the eternal great reward for mitzvahs. Okay, Yud Beis, two more to go. I believe that Mashiach is going to come. Even though it seems to be taking its time, but I wait for it every day to come. All right. So, Shabbos Kodesh, and obviously with Mashiach, and everything that goes with Mashiach, and everything that comes after Mashiach, Olam Haba, and the works. Shabbos Kodesh, Hibris Ha'avu L'chol Nivraim. Shabbos is the covenant of love for all creatures. Specifically, the covenant of love to the Jewish people. Am krovo korsi abrisa Hashem Yisbrach. His close people who cut the covenant with him. Upashut, and it's obvious. Shekasher yesh bris ava vein shnei tzadim. If there is a covenant of love between two sides, eches habris v'hatnoyim hamaisim boim mikol tzad kefi erech metziyosav kochosav. The quality of the covenant and the conditions of the actions, they come forth from the side of the value of his reality and his force. It's the covenant is only as strong as Hashem is. Ulamashal, for example, Bibris Bein Ish Lishto. Let's say a covenant between a man and a woman. Ha'ish marriage. Ha'ish mefarnes es ishto. The husband supports the wife. Ve'isho vedes avodas abayis. And the wife does the work in the house, the traditional Jewish home. Ve'chiyuchal ulomar. So is it possible to say, Hare Abris Aide Shneid Stadim, that the covenant is two-sided? Im at lo mifarneses osi, lama shafarnes osach. If you're not going to support me, why should I support you? Is it possible for the guy to say that? Right? In other words, should the husband say, listen, dear, if you don't go out and make a living, I'm not going out to make a living. Again, in the traditional understanding of marriage, where in the good old days where one income could supply and Hashem blesses the husband to have that income, in the traditional sense, we got married, the understanding is, I work, you take care of the house, right? So could the man turn around one day and say, listen, it's a two-way street, if you don't support me, I won't support you? No, ela pashu, but it's obvious, everyone does what they're able to do. And in the traditional sense, the woman can only do one thing. She can only take care of the family. That's what she knows how to do. She can't go out to the office. She wasn't trained. She doesn't know how to do it. Again, and we're not talking nowadays where... No. He's going more than that. Oh, can you imagine? A husband turns around to a wife when she's 50 years old. All she knows to do is take care of kids. Right? She doesn't know about computers. She doesn't know about this. A husband says, you know, you better start earning a living now. Says, what are you talking about? You know, that's not what I was designed to do. God created me to take care of the family. That my koiches, my strengths, are in child rearing, taking a home economics. That's the koich that I was given by Hashem. That's what I know how to do, and I know, and I do that very well. Don't turn around and ask me to do something that I'm not cut out to do. You know, it would be unreasonable for the husband to say, "Now go out and work at the slave labor that I have to do every day to bring home some money." Well, he's going to say, "That's not what I. You can't ask in a covenant what the other part isn't capable of doing. Okay, he may have been used a better example, because nowadays we think it's all the same. Women work the same as men. Again, I stress, he's talking about the good old conventional, 200 years ago, not even 200 years, 100 years ago, what marriage was, right? The agreement is the husband works, the wife is the homemaker. Finished. And the husband was trained to work. He was trained to learn a trade. Or there's a word for it, I can't remember it now. Apprenticed. Right? In his youth, he was apprenticed to this, and this became his skill level. The wife was apprenticed to be a mother. Right? And that's the way it is. And that's the real koichas hanefesh. The real koichas hanefesh, the real spiritual strength, is that the man is the worker and the mother is the homemaker. That's the real strength. Right? The fact that women work now is bidiyevet, is mamish bidiyevet. It's mamish, it's an unfortunate has to be state, but it's not the blissful state that God wanted this world to be. It's clearly not. Okay, that's the way. That's galus. It's galus. It's churban. It's destruction, and you know, the whole world is crazy. So part of that is the whole family structure.
You want man to work either,
I understand that, but even after the sin, he never wanted woman to work. Never was meant to work, and the whole punishment, quote unquote, the punishment is really the tikkun. You have to work. That's going to be your tikkun. And you have to give birth to children with difficulty and raise children and go through suffering with children. That's your tikkun, and that's how you're built. So not to turn around and say, listen, you know, we have a deal and you got to do what I got to do. That's not what a bris is. A bris is not we do the same thing. A bris is we all do what we're built to do and we do the best we can in that area. That's a bris. All right? That's a covenant. So if that's a covenant, so let's continue. Vim K. Therefore, Kashir Koras Hashem Yisparach Bris Ava Imam Yisrael, when Hashem cut the covenant with the Jewish people. Right? So now what's God got to do based on his ability, and what do we have to do based on our ability? Hari Mitzido Yisparach HaBris Hu Kefiyarach Yisparach. So again, we look at each side of the covenant based on what their essence is. You know, okay, God, you're one side of the covenant. Okay, what are your talents? Okay, what are your talents? So God's qualities, one aspect of his qualities are they're eternal, without any limitations. So it's not possible to say that the one God from his side, he can look to the end of time. That's where he comes from. He comes from the ability to be eternal. It's not possible that he's going to cut a covenant, than to leave the Jews in the darkness of the exile and say, I'm going to forget about you guys. Right? But the covenant is eternal. Right? The covenant, again, the point is the covenant has to be based. A covenant really means, okay, a covenant means like this. A bris means two parties get together. And each one says, I'm going to give you everything I can in this relationship. I'm not holding back anything. That's really what a covenant is. In terms of our relationship, every quality I have, I will dedicate to this relationship. That's a bris. That's a bris. Okay, so let's look at what God's qualities are. He's eternal. Well, if he's eternal, the covenant has to be eternal, because he's capable of making things eternal. So it can't be, you know, God says after a couple thousand years, it was nice knowing you guys, but you've really been a bunch of bums. And now that that's the case, the covenant's off. Well, you know, if you're a being who's limited, then your covenant can be limited. But if you're an eternal being, well, then you got to be in there for as long as you can be in there. And you got to be there for the whole course of events. And it's no such thing as leaving us in the middle. You can't do that. Right? The covenant has to be eternal. Volcane, therefore, Shekola Tsar Sabos Aleinu, all the sufferings that come to us, it's not like God forgot about us. But Hein Mishtalvos Bisoch Havasma, they are things that come out of the love itself. Achenetzim Agolas Amara, until we get out of this bitter Golas. Hazuv. Yechadish amen kegedem. And we return the days to the way they used to be. V'nemar azam afreya. Then retroactively, when Mashiach comes, we'll be able to say, Ot Hashem ki anaf to be. I give thanks to you, Hashem, because I was bad to you. Right? Because I was bad to you, I understand why you punished me. V'az yimol, and then what's going to be? Az yimol le'ischag pinu, then our mouths will be filled with laughter. Shinir l'mafer, we'll see retroactively. Eich sha'avol osar me'etono afarega. We're going to see retroactively. The love never left. Now we're saying, God, why are you leaving us? Why are you giving us in trouble? So that, but when Mashiach comes, you're going to see it was all part of how Hashem was able to make us be the people worthy of receiving our blessings. And that comes out by definition, by combining all the principles together. Since Hashem is eternal and always existed, nothing leaves His supervision. And His connection to us, a connection of love. And it's all coming out of He Himself and no messengers. There's going to be an end there to the darkness, as Eov says. Yashuv abcha v'tanchumi, your anger will return, it'll be gone, and you'll comfort me. Right, so that has to come out of everything. Everything that we've established in the first 11 principles forces us to say that it's an eternal covenant. He's going to give it all that He's got, and He's got to bring Mashiach. Well, if that's the case, we know that Shabbos is very unique in terms of it teaching us about the future. That Shabbos is a taste of the world to come. How can we say there's no hope for us at the end? Right? That's the whole point what Shabbos tells us. Shabbos is a taste of what it's going to be when Olam Haba comes. Olam Haba is only based on the fact that we have an eternal relationship, and no matter how bad it is now, that's only a temporary thing for our benefit. Every Shabbos we live in a redemptive state. And Shabbos is mamish, literally living in Mashiach's times. And what is Mashiach? As we will learn at the end of the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim, and we'll learn a little bit about it in Hilchos Tshuva too. What is Mashiach? Why did the rabbis and the prophets yearn for the days of Mashiach? Not so that way we could rule over the world and get everybody back and make a big party. Only so we could be free to learn Torah and God's wisdom. Nobody should oppress them and take them away from learning, and just to keep learning. Why? So that we should merit the world to come. Ubos asman, and in these days, lo yeah sham, lo rav, lo mochama, there won't be any starvation, no hunger, no war, lo kina v'sachas, not jealousy, no competition. Shatov v'tia mushpas harbe, that the good of Hashem will influence so much. Chalamadani mitzvim ka'ofer, and all the precious things will be found like the dust of the earth. The world will only be engaged in one thing, to know Hashem, and that's all. That's Mashiach. No, isn't that Shabbos? Right? That's what Shabbos is. I shouldn't have to worry about things. I'm sorry? At Kan Lashono. That's the end of the Rambam. Right, and that's exactly what Shabbos is. You know, your boss oppresses you because of this. You can't learn Torah. There's all these things that won't let you learn Torah. There's curriculum nights, right? Can't learn Torah. It's curriculum night. Mamas, chas v'shalom. I couldn't learn tonight because it's a bar mitzvah, right? Mamas, you know, I have to be for all 6 hours of the bar mitzvah. I can't like step out for 1 hour in the middle, chas v'shalom, to or a chasana. I got to be there for every moment.
The
right. Okay. What can I do? I'm forced. I have no choice. Right. Okay. Baruch Hashem. On Shabbos, no chasanas, no bar mitzvahs to take the whole Shabbos up. You know. Okay. There's no boss to tell you not to learn. No competition. You are free to learn Torah. That's what Shabbos is. That's what Mashiach is. You are free to learn Torah. right? Halacha shel Shabbos hiliros ki'ilu malachtach asuya. Remember, the law of Shabbos is you must see and feel that your work has been done by Friday, and there's no pressures on Shabbos. Right, nimtzatzaras hagolus nishkachem shabbos. And this is for Jews, not like us who live a great and comfortable, easy life, but for the Jew who mamish slaved 6 days in a week under the slave baron who owned your little tavern, and you eked out your few dollars, and he taxed you to death. And on Shabbos, you forget about all those miseries. Right, that's what Shabbos is. Everything's finished. Right. And all the pains of the gullus are forgotten on Shabbos. Ve no geish, there's no oppressor or mevatlin, someone negating you from it. Ela menucha shleima, total comfort. Nimtza Mashiach hayitanu, it comes out on Shabbos, the Mashiach is living with us. Vezela osu labris, and that's a sign in the covenant. Shalazav numakin, Hashem never left us. Even in the worst concentration camps, you still had Shabbos. Still had Shabbos. And that really shows you how terrible the oppressors of the Jews were. What do they do when they really want to oppress you? What did Paro do? What did Hitler do? They wouldn't even let you have Shabbos. Because that will break your spirit. If I can't even have one day off to experience it, that will break your spirit. And it broke many spirits, unfortunately. Right? But a regular Shabbos, at least a conventional Shabbos, that reminds us that Hashem hasn't left us. Just like we have from Hashem, the Shabbos, the Holy Shabbos, as a sign of His love and wanting us. And we know that every Shabbos, we hope quickly will come the day that is always Shabbos and eternal rest for the Jewish people that comes through the Mashiach. Amen. So tomorrow we have the 13th principle, and we're going to really speed it up. It's very short, and then a beautiful conclusion to the book. Beautiful conclusion. So don't miss it, and we will, Mir Tashem, one way or another, finish the sefer tomorrow.